Hi, this is Tom Perich. I'm the editor of Distribution Center Magazine, the official magazine of Hardy. And on this podcast, I have Rosalinda Randall. Is that, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Okay. And you have a, I see in your signature, in your email, you have a nice picture of your book, which says, Don't Burp in the Boardroom. And above that, it has three words, courtesy, consideration, and civility. How does one become a civility expert?
Well, the way I became a civility expert is just by how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was just demonstrated and expected in our home. And the book and my business just evolved from how I lived my life and raised our sons and how I see life. Just there is always a nice way or polite way or at least minimally a tactful way of interacting with anyone and everyone.
You know, it's interesting because you're obviously a business person. You're an entrepreneur. We're in the HVACR industry, and we'll be circling back to the specific industry in a bit here. But you must have seen something or an event or a series of events that occurred and that you said, you know, there's a need there, and I can fill it, I suppose. Is that because in addition to writing the book and writing articles, you also are a consultant. So you'll go talk to not-for-profits, companies, schools, right?
Yes. Yes, I do. And then I listen to what most of their concerns are, and typically it's the same ones. And one, if I may mention, that has and surprisingly, is lack of hygiene in their employees. So I've been asked to address that, and of course attire, but definitely hygiene, which puzzles me.
Really? So you've actually had people that you've consulted with who will talk about a lack of hygiene as an issue then?
Yes. And sometimes it comes across a little bit better when they hire someone like me
mm-hmm.
to go in and address the topic versus them having to, you know, hound the person all the time.
You know, you sort of said, and when you think it through, it does seem sort of obvious, except it's important. That is, it gets pretty personal with, I guess I'm a little floored by that one about the hygiene thing, but that you have, it's got to be very tough to tell an employee that you have a hygiene problem, especially in, it's weird because we talk about civility, but aren't we living in an incredibly politically correct environment right now?
Yes, and that's why they bring people from the outside to say it, because they don't want to be sued or, you know, have someone have a meltdown or anything, take 2 days off because they were told something that was unpleasant or offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are going back to, you know, writing policies and procedures manuals so they have something to point the finger at and say, look, you signed this. This is part of our protocol. But yes, it can be a little bit, you know, sensitive. Sometimes they may leave it up to a coworker where you have a familiar relationship with them and pull them to the side. And I'm a big believer in sort of taking the problem on. And what I mean by that is saying, oh gosh, one time I was going through, you know, a time where I had bad breath, and I was so happy and grateful that my coworker pulled me to the side and told me I had no idea. So I'm doing that for you, and please don't take offense. And, you know, that's one way of handling a situation.
Yeah,
you have to do that.
Yeah. Give me some examples of when I suppose at some point a company is made aware of you, however they find you. And they think that there is a problem or enough problems or issues that they call you in. Can you give me, obviously I'm not going to ask you to identify anybody, but some of the ways that, and I'm thinking much more now rather than on a personal coaching basis, but rather on a business level, what companies would come to you about and ask you to help them with. Go ahead.
Well, no, most of them have been corporate companies.
Mm-hmm.
Large. I think one of the largest ones was 230. It was a group of salespeople,
mm-hmm.
and that was where one of the issues, and in fact they asked me to bring it up three different times, was hygiene, lack of hygiene in their sales team. So I definitely touched upon that, gave some examples, and what it means. You know, I felt somewhat as though I was you know, talking to school grade children. So it was a little bit awkward to talk to them about, you know, just soap or if you don't bathe, because there is a lot of cultural differences as well to take into consideration.
Yep.
When they come from a certain place, you know, once a week or a little splash behind the ears now and then is good enough. So we need to take that into consideration. So when I do speak, I say, well, if you're not a believer in a daily shower, then at least clean clothes every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of them. Another one was very simple. A lot of their staff deal with clients on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having problems with, you know, being civil and answering in a curt manner, or they were just taking a bite out of their sandwich and, you know, sounded as though they were bothered. So I went in and spoke to them about that, and then other general things that complement that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two most recent ones.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, isn't this a question of, I'm trying to frame the question the right way, of self-awareness? In other words, you know, there's a culture. Let's use the HVACR industry. So counter people, people who, you know, work behind a counter selling heating and cooling supplies,
yes,
and their customers, of course, are not you and me in terms of the general public. Rather, they're contractors, guys who, you know, roll up, and mostly guys, there's very few women, mostly mm-hmm. guys who come in, and they usually come in early in the morning to get supplies because they have calls they have to make. So that can be a sort of interesting, male-dominated, what's the word I'm looking for? You know where I'm going with this.
Yes, there's a certain way that might be acceptable,
yep,
for the conversation to go.
Sure.
And it wouldn't be if I was approaching a, you know, cosmetic counter or
something. Exactly.
That's
correct.
Way off.
Yep.
And I understand. Actually, maybe a year ago, my husband is manufacturing, has his own business, and I have gone to these counters before mm-hmm. to pick things up
mm-hmm.
for him. And I do know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes they forget that, well, I should say first, women also now have adopted what was generally a male way of speaking, including cuss words and, you know, things like that. So I believe that it was unintentional, but there was a lot of that going on. Hey, what the, you know, and all the stuff that they're greeting each other, and it was a very pleasant greeting, but
mm-hmm.
in their certain, as you say, male way. And I was standing there, and I was a little bit, you know, I felt awkward. I wasn't offended in any way. I just
mm-hmm.
thought, okay, I'm in your world. And that's where that civility and all that stuff comes in. I'm in their world. I could show a little bit of, the word is tolerance. It's
mm-hmm.
so overused. But, you know, overlook
mm-hmm.
those few little things that aren't going to make my life, you know, aren't going to change my life, and I'm not becoming offended, and I don't have to work around it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just let it go and spoke the way I wanted to speak. Hello, good morning. And usually people over the counter, whoever you're referring to, will react and respond to the person on the other side of the counter. So
mm-hmm.
I felt that they did change their demeanor somewhat when I spoke to them in a, I guess, less male way.
Mm-hmm. Going back to why people bring you in sometimes, do they, if we leave aside you know, you sort of use two examples of physical manifestation, either, you know, cleanliness or, you know. But what about the attitude aspects? I mean, like someone, I don't know how it happened, looks at the people that they're dealing with, customers, whether it's on the phone or face-to-face, and they realize that from what they see and hear, that there's a problem, however we define it. You sort of, this is one of those what I call the common sense things. You just know that people are either short. You pointed out to eating a sandwich, or you're on the telephone, or you're in front of that person or chomping away, right? So they say, you know what? We got to get someone who knows something about this, and that's where I suppose they find you then.
Yes, and now that you mentioned that, you did prompt another. There was a group of property managers that I spoke to, and this was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what they wanted me to address is exactly what you said, communicating with one another and their customers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their customers are from different backgrounds, lower income. I don't want to generalize, but
mm-hmm.
don't have the communication skills that someone who has been around, you know, corporate
mm-hmm.
has. And how do they deal with that without getting upset, without getting angry? Or they were dealing with a lot of angry tenants. How to do that. So I did come in. I'm not a communication specialist by any means. That's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I did talk to them about different communication styles, maybe the five top most common, you know, the chatty person, the angry person, and how to still navigate and keep your cool and dignity and integrity when talking to someone like that. That was another presentation that I did, you know, just maintaining the calmness and tactfulness and not having to, I guess, react. Instead, you respond. And you respond by listening and acknowledging someone. I also say that you don't always have to disagree or agree with someone. Most people who get into that, argumentative state need to just say what they need to say and feel like they're heard. They don't always need to have you agree or disagree with them. So I'm a big believer in just listening. Yes, I understand a lot of that. I'll see what we can do, or thank you for letting me know.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it just ends right there. That's all people want.
Do you, what if it's not company-wide, and I've been going back and forth on that one, what if it's just one employee? What do they do, buy your book and hand it to the person, say, read it? Let's use a real life example. Okay. Let's assume, and we'll use a wholesaler, and the guy's a pretty good salesperson, but the owners of the company, and you know, when they look at him, let's say he's not a star, he's not number one, but he's not bad either, right? He's not like we need to get rid of him. And you can't help but notice that that they're a little abrupt, okay? And
yes.
And let me give you one caveat before you answer. This is one of those test questions. In our industry, as I mentioned earlier, they're mostly men behind the counter. But not only are they mostly men, but they're usually at least middle age, okay? Just given the dynamics and the knowledge. And, of course, that person would probably, you know, I assume there's a certain amount of defensiveness that sets in, like you're telling me how to sell kind of stuff, you know, whereas the owner or the manager might be looking at him and thinking, yeah, he's okay, but he's still a little abrupt with the customers. So what do you do with someone like that?
Oh, my. I was asked to meet with someone who had a couple of people like that on their staff of 50, and there were, I think, two that they were having a similar problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought me in so that everyone could be addressed and not point out those two people.
Got it.
So that's one way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And another way that might be easier is to have a manager that has a particular, a little bit, as I said, familiar relationship with that person, and discreetly, after hours, so that no one sees, because I know about that, you know, ego or the defensiveness can set in.
Sure.
He would have to explain why he got pulled into the office. I would take him out to lunch or something that's a common interaction with the employee, and bring up some tips. I know there's this, I'm more of a give it to me straight. I mean, you can be tactful and civil and polite about it, but just give it to me straight. There's this new trend, or I don't know if it's new, but new to me, that you give criticism sandwiched, meaning you tell them how wonderful they are and all these great things. Then you give them the problem, address the problem, and then you end with another, but you are so great and valuable to us.
Mm-hmm.
That could work for some situations,
okay,
like this defensive person.
Yeah, the latter reminds me of everybody gets a trophy for showing up.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another issue. Why did you write Don't Burp in the Boardroom? In fact, that's a pretty cool title. You chose that because you thought it, I assume, and you can correct me, that it caught the essence of what someone might do and not think it's bad manners?
Yes, and I can think of a particular situation where I was walking with a gentleman, business related, and I looked up to him. He was a little taller. I'm short, and I looked up, and he did that puff cheek burp, you know, where it burps, but you think you're holding it in, but your cheeks puff up.
Yep.
And that stayed with me. And that's kind of where it alluded inspired the title. And the reason I wrote it was, one, a business decision. Obviously, people say, you know, you're in business, write a book.
Sure.
And that was great. And I was very fortunate to get picked up and traditionally published. I found that to be an easy process. And thirdly is I had a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, and not necessarily in this order, it was a way to honor my parents. I mean, they're still alive, and I'm very blessed that they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the foundation they laid, I mean, it would have been impossible for me to do what I'm doing without the way that they guided me.
I'm assuming, and again, I'm focusing on my own industry, that there's a level of expertise and maturity that... I think it's fair to say there's a fair amount of common sense, and they know what the rules are, okay, in a very general way. It's sort of like most people probably can't recite the Ten Commandments, but they could probably get a couple of them, even if they're not particularly religious or anything else. So where I'm going with this is it must be a challenge, though, if... you know, they don't have the upbringing, let's say, that you had, and they realize that some of these issues are, in fact, not acceptable. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and especially these poor millennials are getting such a bad rap, but let's just kind of go there. The younger generation, the older generation is complaining about them because I think what it really comes down to is they lack consideration. But if they were raised in this fast pace where it is sort of all about me and everything does everything for you. You don't really need to think about anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the core is. If we stop to think about somebody else, we'd have so many less problems. But you're right. What I get from employers is that they're just so unaware. How do you make them aware? And really the only way is to definitely management set an example at all times, not just once in a while, because that's one of the top, I think it's in the top five of the complaints that I hear from staff is, my boss never says please and thank you to me.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I hope who's ever listening to the podcast will more frequently, if not always, say please and thank you. It's sort of interesting. I had this thought as you were talking that, 20 years ago, the notion of a politeness or civility expert, people would laugh at the idea, wouldn't they? You know, everybody, because you would feel the common sense answers the question. Of course, we know that's not totally true, because that's why you had Dear Abby and Ann Landers, the columnist, would often talk about what the appropriate behavior was.
Yes. But also, I believe that most of us would laugh at those and go, oh, she didn't do that. Are you kidding? You know, because we
right.
would know the answer in
advance
or close to it. And I believe, yes, everything I have to say is common sense. But as they say, you know, common sense is, what is the saying, not so common?
No. Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, but no. I'm a big believer in you know, so many books that are how-to or have advice. Very rarely is it a breakthrough knowledge. It's often like a fitness program. It's a reminder as much as it is anything else, and maybe making a priority of it. So two questions. Second last question is, what's the one, you know, thought that we want to leave our listeners with about being, in terms of running a business and making sure that their people are being polite and civil, both to each other and to their customers?
Well, as I just said, set an example.
Okay.
Have hold a meeting now and then and say, we want to bring, you know, this into our part of our training program. I think that has to be from the get-go.
Okay. And I'd like to give you a little plug here. Your book is called Don't Burp in the Boardroom, and your website is... why don't you share your website and your telephone number?
Oh, Oh, okay. The website is rosalindarandall.com, and the phone number is on there, 650-871-6200, and I'm based in San Francisco, California.
And so they know the spelling of your name. Of course, they can always reach out to me. I'm the editor of Distribution Center Magazine, so that shouldn't be a problem, but it is R-O-S-A-L-I-N-D-A-R-A-N-D-A-L, Rosa Linda Randall.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you. And one final thing is just remember, are people, or think about this, are people happy seeing you come down the hall or happier when they see you leaving? That's one thing to just keep in mind.
That's
how you make people feel.
So that's a measuring stick or the measuring rod to know whether you're doing the right job or not. You've been very gracious with your time, and we'd like to thank you. And if anybody has any questions or they think they have a politeness or civility problem, they should reach out to you. Thanks again very much, Rosalinda, for your time.